Born in the pandemic era, thriving in the Zoom era, it's Resonance Rewind, sharing lessons from the creatives of yesteryear for the population of today.
Bigelow.
Well, what'd I do now?
Nothing. I just thought you'd want to know. There's trouble.
Huh. Thought you said I didn't do nothing.
Oh, no, not you. I can't tell you where I heard it, but I heard things ain't going so good for your kinfolk down on Earth.
It's trouble? Is it Julie?
Well, I don't know exactly.
Was it my boy?
I told you, I don't know.
Well, now, ain't that just dandy? Here you take the trouble to tell me there's trouble down there, but you don't know what kind of trouble it is. Huh. Do me a favor, will you go bother somebody else while I finish these stars?
All right. I just thought you might want to go down there. Maybe help.
Who, me? You gone loony or something? How?
Well, everybody's got a right to go back for one day.
They have?
Sure. That's the only reason I told you.
Hey, come here, come here. Hey! Not that I'm interested in going back there, but just in case I should be, who gives out this permission?
The Starkeeper.
Him, huh? Well, I'll think about it.
The opening sequence there, which, as I noted, probably has echoes of the opening to It's a Wonderful Life, except, of course, this is in glorious Technicolor, and a whole new fabulous world is being presented to us in this Rodgers and Hammerstein, some might say classic, although at the time, although the critics regarded it as a classic back in 1956, the box office suggested otherwise. Effectively, it didn't perform in any way as well as it had been anticipated as doing, and certainly The King and I for 1956 was a much better success as far as Rodgers and Hammerstein were concerned. Henry King directed, of course, written by Phoebe Efron, Henry Efron, and Oscar Hammerstein II, starring, of course, Gordon McRae, Shirley Jones, Cameron Mitchell, and many more. Let's find out what Kathy Manso makes of Carousel.
It is beautiful. The colors are vibrant. The choreography is very impressive. And I really enjoyed the choreography. It's probably one of my favorite aspects of it. The singing, you could tell they were still trying to figure out, like, they were still trying to separate operatic voices, classical voices, into musical theater, which there is a bit of a distinct difference. And some people are figuring it out better than others, but still very well done. I just didn't like the storyline. And I understand this takes place in the 1950s, 1956, I think this is filmed. And
the actual story is set in the 1800s, in the 19th century. So you've got a sort of look back at that. And yeah, I mean, viewed from a perspective of 2023, the very notion of violence and domestic abuse, which you could see this as being an example of, would clearly have very major issues.
Yes.
Does that adversely affect your reading of the actual text, though? Literally, because again, as I kind of predicted, that was going to be one of your big challenges.
Yeah, it's... Look, I there's a lot of stories that I can watch from previous times and I can understand them. Like, actually, you know, I found myself comparing this to West Side Story a lot. And I think I like West Side Story more because maybe it's a little bit more that I can relate to the Latin culture of it, especially with the difference of immigration and American customs. But they at least addressed the problems. Yeah, you know, maybe not everything, but at least like they knew, like they addressed the patriarchy in a sense. Whereas here, it's just accepted, and they sing a song about like that's the way it is. That's life. what you gonna do about it? and I get it. I do understand that it's of the time, but you know that's why the only part of this I really enjoyed was the ending, because you get to meet the daughter. And she's getting an opportunity to, although still struggling with the patriarchy and still struggling with classism, she's at least like not shying away from her personality. You know, it's kind of giving her an opportunity coming, especially with the background. And it is nice that they at least address the assault. But there's even like so many forms of harassment in there that's just acceptable, that, you know, today obviously wouldn't be accepted, and it probably wouldn't have been accepted 10 years ago, but was probably accepted maybe even 20 years ago.
Interesting. Again, looking at the reviews of the whole thing, the whole notion of the color, the music, the aspects within that are critical from the side of things, of course. Let's look at some of the characters. I mean, Billy Bigelow, who in essence would certainly be regarded as a flawed individual, somebody who had lots of challenges with respect to that. We also see, of course, the interaction of Shirley Jones' character of Julie, very naive, very innocent. And again, really representing that as Julie Jordan most effectively, I felt. And then, of course, you've got very strong female characters with Cousin Nettie, played by Clara Mae Turner. And again, the kind of midway point, really, with, of course, Carrie Pipperidge, played by Barbara Ruick, who, of course, is perfectly happy to actually marry Mr. Snow, even though, obviously, Robert Rounsville's characterization of Mr. Enoch Snow, arguably his entire family, are the kind of classic reason in terms of where Louise Bigelow, of course, the daughter of Billy and Julie Jordan, effectively suffers hugely in terms of being picked on. So, you know, again, this sort of passage of how things are going, plus, of course, the notion of Maine, the aspect of June busting out all over and all of those aspects. I mean, I think I've said earlier that actually in many ways, certainly on a different program, I hated this musical initially. But over the years, I found it emotionally packs a huge wallop. And actually, even allowing for the notion of the line of obviously Billy Bigelow's character actually hitting Julie, we don't know, we see this, we hear it, we admit it, etc. There's a kind of redemption narrative and a redemption arc that I think does work very well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think a lot of things get swept under the rug here. They do address a lot of issues, which I do appreciate. It takes us a while to get there, but I understand they're setting up the scene for it. I think that's another problem with this as well. It's like timing, because, you know, within the first 20 or 30 minutes, it's been a night and this woman has agreed to marry Billy, and that happens quickly and fast, and there's a song and that's it, and everyone's just, okay, this is what's happening, this is, but then you have like what is actually the plot kind of forming and these relationships, and they're really putting in the time and the effort, and there is a lot of emotion, and I do think that it forces the audience to reflect, and I think it brings up a lot. It's probably aged to bring up more difficult emotions, for sure. But I think that's kind of the whole point of film. You know, it's kind of helping you process even the things that you aren't exactly comfortable with. It's not meant to make, well, it shouldn't be today meant to feel like a feel-good movie in any sense. But I think it asks a lot of hard questions, and whether they meant to do that, I think on some things they did want to address some of the issues for sure. But I think just because of how it's aged, it's even brought up more questions, especially between, you know, just the relationships between men and women, stereotypes, genders, and classism.
The villain of the piece is clearly Jigger Cragen, played by Cameron Mitchell, the guy who effectively leads to the death quite directly of, obviously, Billy Bigelow. We obviously hear in the narrative that he hasn't even ended up in heaven, so to speak, in terms of the afterlife, and he's certainly not in that place at all. But of course, we also get that line that even though Bigelow wishes to perhaps take a pleasure and a joy in terms of where he's ended up, that information isn't actually there. So, I mean, again, there are a number of sort of religious narratives that come across here in terms of an afterlife, in terms of a redemption arc and other areas as well. Let's talk music. Which particular songs stood out as memorable for yourself? I mean, which ones are you going to go and say, yeah, that's it? Or were none of them particularly memorable?
You know, it took me a really long time to get into this. You know, like I said, I had a hard time following the storyline. Like, I understood it. I understood where they were going with it, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't impressed with the opening songs. And I was always impressed by the choreography, though. That was truly, truly good. And I think the best one is not the ending one where he's singing to his past wife, but the one right before with his daughter, where they it's a combination of both the choreography and the singing kind of gets involved. But like, I found that to be more enjoyable, and it felt like it developed more and it seemed a bit more free, or like it seemed like they were having more fun with it.
So the notion of If I Loved You certainly not get winning your vote from that point of view, which is curious, because it's either that or You'll Never Walk Alone that tends to be the ones that most people would go for, although there are lots of others as well. Let's talk favorite characters. Which ones did you actually stand out, or is it a case of, well, again, none of them?
The daughter was the best character. You know, I appreciated that, because you finally got a character, even though she wasn't raised by her father, right? He passes away before her birth. Louise, I believe, right? I hope.
Louise Bigelow.
Yes. They did a really good job with her character of kind of giving both the personality traits of her mother and her father, even though she wasn't raised by her, but in a sense, because the mom kind of, you know, kept him alive. You could tell that she was always telling her about him. It wasn't a mystery, and she wouldn't let people in the town tell her what her father was like. You know, and yeah, that's a difficult situation to be in, you know, and you could see that she was definitely conflicted. And that's probably why I was really impressed with the choreography, because they did such a beautiful job of portraying those emotions. So if there's one thing to watch from this whole film, I think, you know, I enjoyed Luis as a character, but the real star has always been the choreography.
And your mark out of 10.
Oh, I kept thinking about this. You know, we started this and I was like, uh-oh. I don't know. So, like I said, because of the dancing, I mean, especially the end, you have the picture right behind you right now where they literally set up a carousel with bodies, and that was so impressive to see. I you know, that kind of imagination is really rare in choreography sometimes, especially that this was done so long ago. But I so that's really going to be the shining number here. I think I will give it a 4. My heart wants to say a 3, but a 4 because of the choreography.
Busting out
all over the meadow and the hill.
Buds are busting out of bushes and the romping river pushes every little wheel that wheels beside a mill.
June is busting out all over, the ocean's full of jacks and tills.
With her little tail a swishing, every lady fish is wishing that a male would come and grab her by the gills.
Because it's June, 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 just because it's June, June, June.
Fresh and alive and gay and young, June is a love song sweetly sung.
June is busting out.
Brother Junior and my sister's even loonier,
and my ma's getting kittenish with Pap.
June is busting out all over.
The sheep aren't sleeping anymore.
All the rams that chase the ewe sheep are determined there'll be new sheep, and the ewe sheep aren't even keeping score.
Because it's June.
And along come pretty little May. May was full of promises, but she didn't keep them quick enough for some. And a crowd of doubting Thomases was predicting that the summer'd never come.
But it's come by gum, you could feel it come. You could feel it in your heart, you could see it in the ground.
You could hear it in the trees, you could smell it in the breeze.
Look around, look around.
Just because the captains hanker for the comforts they can only get in port.
June is busting out all over.
The moonlight is shining on the shore, and the girls who were contrary with the boys in January aren't nearly so contrary anymore.
Because it's June.
Never see it yet to fail. I never see it fail. A girl who's in love with a virtuous man is doomed to weep and wail.
Stonecutters cut it on stone. Woodpeckers peck it on wood. There's nothing so bad for a woman as a man who thinks he's good.
Mm-hmm.
My mother used to say to me, when you grow up, my son, I hope you're a bum like your father was, 'cause a good man ain't no fun.
Stonecutters cut it on stone, woodpeckers peck it on wood. There's nothing so bad for a woman as a man who thinks he's good.
Tain't so, 'tis too.
Tain't so, 'tis too.
I never see it yet to fail. I never see it fail. A girl who's in love with any man is doomed to weep and wail. The clock just ticks your life away. There's no relief in sight. It's cooking and scrubbing and sewing all day, and not much sleeping at night.
Stonecutters cut it on stone, woodpeckers peck it on wood. There's nothing so bad for a woman as a man who's bad or good.
Okay, so some might say a little bit harsh are the views of Kathy Mantsover, but let's find out what Victoria Simmons makes of Carousel, of course, the 1956 Residence Rewind musical special we're working from. And bear in mind, of course, even though we're looking at time, as the Starkeeper said to Billy Bigelow, you're forgetting, here there is no time. This is the beginning and the end. Victoria, your thoughts, please.
How can I not love one of these musicals? I mean, Rodgers and Hammerstein already is perfect. I mean, even if people haven't watched the film, which I couldn't remember if I had or not, when then you start watching it and you suddenly realize, oh yeah, the stars. Oh yeah, yeah, okay, I remember. And then suddenly you've all of everything that you need. I mean, ugh. Yeah, I love this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say that I was surprised at the perspective that Kathy actually launched in terms of this, which somewhat vitriolic, it has to be said, but never mind. We can work through that whole process. I mean, I did feel, okay, there is a big issue insofar as life in 2023, you would obviously have red flag signals going up all the way if you met a character like Julie, played by Shirley Jones, who effectively seemed to quite happily accept everything that Billy Bigelow did or didn't do with her, and indeed hit her and all sorts of things. It's domestic abuse. That is a non-starter. That's clearly an absolute line of things. I mean, we have the sort of, again, the interaction between Bigelow and the Starkeeper. I just couldn't get the hang of being married. Starkeeper, was that Julie's fault? No, but maybe it wasn't my fault either. I mean, clearly he was immature. He was somebody who basically, in terms of the character, clearly was very much in need of development. But for me, the movie actually shows that story arc, which shows that, I mean, even Julie, to a certain extent, she's very naive, just as naive in many ways as Carrie Pipperidge. Again, lovely little line of dialogue, Mr. Snow. You'd think a woman with 9 children would have more sense, Carrie Pipperidge. If I had more sense, I wouldn't have had 9 children. But we are talking about a time here where, in essence, that whole element of life and the relationship between the genders and so on and so forth was being represented on this side of things here. You know, and again, that line between Bigelow and the Starkeeper, to be perfectly honest with you, I would be if I were you. All right, I didn't mind living off her, cousin Nettie. It was just having nothing to do that drove me crazy. You know, these are flawed individuals. They're flawed individuals who clearly have got their own challenges to work through. But as you said, Victoria, for me, that's lifted hugely by the musical. And I admit, I hated this movie about 20, 30 years ago. I couldn't get into it at all. As one's kind of gone through the years, etc., I find myself actually, it's virtually impossible for me to actually watch this movie without weeping tears at the end. And certainly the onset of You'll Never Walk Alone and that whole sequence. I mean, I think that it really packs an emotional wallop. But anyway, that's some of my thoughts on the whole thing. Anything you'd like to add in terms of before we start looking at favorite characters and so on?
No, I think for the women, the marriage and things like that, it's you have to remember that's just because we don't do it now. You have to remember that that's the time in Fiddler on the Roof, you'll get married off to the people, whoever the matchmaker puts you with. And it's the same in this time. You find a man and you get placed with him.
You went on the clam bake, and you had the whole experience of that.
That's how it is. Afterwards, you learn to love each other. They still have loads of arranged marriages, and sometimes I think nowadays arranged marriages might actually be easier, considering that you've got all these lifestyle problems and people say, oh, and it's really hard to date people. Well, there you go, problem solved.
I mean, again, a really interesting point. Sorry,
the same in many of the It's the same in many of the Rodgers and Hammerstein's Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. It's all the same. But I think they're both naive, because you've got to remember that they're probably, 17, both of them, maybe 18. So neither of them are going to have much of an understanding of the world. And that's just the way it was. You can't compare it to these times.
Yeah, I have to agree 100% with respect to that. Now, Chloe hasn't seen the musical as yet, so this could be quite critical. And we might actually have, as we did with Xanadu, to have a second part to actually open this up a little bit more and turn that through. Because I know Jessica does want to contribute to this, but she's a bit poorly at present. So we said, OK, we'll ease back with respect to that. But in terms of the characters, well, actually, no, before we go to characters, what are your particular musical favourite numbers, Victoria, from Carousel, the 1956 version?
Well, You'll Never Walk Alone is definitely a tearjerker. Like you said, I weep at the end every time. You can't not like that one.
Well, you and me both, to be absolutely honest, Victoria, because again, it's one of those areas where you don't expect it to, and you almost sort of feel as though perhaps you shouldn't, but it does, you know, bring it, not just goosebumps, but tears to the eyes. I mean, I think that, you know, we're being manipulated as an audience, but it's done in such a wonderful way, including that final sequence, which we'll be wrapping up this particular segment with, that closing oration from Dr. Selden at Louise's graduation ceremony. Basically, you can't lean on the success of your parents. That's their success. Don't be held back to them. And again, the way in which we break into the line of "You'll Never Walk Alone," which of course we first heard, of course, at the tragic death of Billy Bigelow.
But it also shows how the musical is. Other ones are start with something to find out, and they reach a happy ending. But this one really does. It almost starts in a dark place, and then ends with a moral at the end of it. So actually, it's very different from a lot of the other musicals. And I also like the song, I'm not entirely sure what it's called, when he finds out that he's going to be a father, and
My Boy
he's
Bill.
Talked about My Boy Bill, and maybe that's the title, and then his girl. And I thought that was a very poignant song, because it shows that he's actually, fatherhood is making him become more of a sturdy person.
I mean, admittedly, this is a story as old as time itself, to paraphrase the whole thing. The notion of the girl who falls for the bad lad, and effectively, you know, never, it sort of works and it does work. Obviously, there's a tragedy within that whole side of things. But again, if you step away from that, you step away from that particular narrative of the story and actually look at the way in which it's developed. I also drew a reference really to this and It's a Wonderful Life. Not that It's a Wonderful Life as a musical, but you have a similar redemption or redemptive pathway there. Although it's fair to say that George in It's a Wonderful Life is an infinitely kinder person, at least to start off with, than Billy Bigelow. Although I think there are similarities between the two characters.
Yes, for sure. But I also like the dance sequence. I think it's supposed to be in her imagination.
Yeah.
I mean, they're dancing between the carousel and people and the cotillion people. It's
there are two very epic, almost balletic aspects. There's one, of course, which is Junie's busting out all over, which again I think has got some of the most phenomenal dancing I've ever seen on screen. And then, of course, we have the balletic element of the carousel with Bigelow's daughter, which again opens up a whole range of things. And to be fair, I mean, Kathy was very fulsome in her praise with respect to this. I think it's what actually scored the movie a few points from that side of things. Be fascinated to find out what Pamela makes of the whole thing. Again, I think obviously she's been delayed in transatlantic aspects, but an interesting line entirely. Chloe, you've listened to some of the thoughts of Victoria. You've listened to some of my thoughts on this side of things. Is this a movie you're looking forward to catching up with and seeing, or is it a case of, oh, I don't know, 1956, that's before my parents were born?
Oh, I would be interested because I do love musicals, and I actually have seen Carousel years ago, like a performance at Grimsby Auditorium in my area, and I remember the songs being a highlight of the show. There was fantastic songs, but obviously I can't remember now again, so it's something that I need to refresh in my mind with. But I've heard so many good reviews about the show, that how good Carousel is as a musical, and I think because there's a love story intertwined there, I feel like that would be something I'd be interested in, definitely, because I love, so that's definitely something I would want to watch for sure. And it's singing and it's dancing. I mean, I'm not particularly a good dancer, but I love to watch it, and acting, obviously, so it's the three triple threats. I think it'd be awesome to watch, definitely.
You could also add, as a Liverpool follower, with the origin of You Never Walk Alone being in there as well.
Alone.
You might well say that's a key thing.
Yeah, I love that song. That's an amazing song. So, very, very good. Is it as good as... I'm talking too much again. Is it as good as these... the musical we watched
Xanadu.
A week or two. Yes, how do you rate it in terms of that?
I would probably say, from my perspective, it's the equivalent. I think that there are sort of different... And again, you've got interesting narratives within that whole side of things. You've also got a fantasy element as well. Victoria, what about characters? Which ones for you would you say, yep, okay, I'm definitely going to go for Enoch Snow, or indeed possibly Cousin Nettie, or maybe the Starkeeper?
No, none of those. Actually, like Bill and his daughter is Louise.
So Louise Bigelow, played by Susan Lucky, who I think was only 2 years younger than Shirley Jones at the time. It's interesting, when I featured Shirley and she did a few shows with us back in the day, at the end of the 20th century, she's always regarded this as one of her favourite musicals and probably her favourite of the ones she did. Of course, she also went on to do Oklahoma and many other sort of routines. Gordon McRae had his challenges. And again, the official line was that he had a major problem with alcohol when this was being made. So again, that was an interesting way in which he obviously had to be helped through the whole process. And tragically, after recovering from his alcoholic addiction, he then passed away in the 80s, I think, 1986. So are you going for one of those? I mean, is it going to be Susan Lucky, or is it as Louise Bigelow, or is it going to be Billy Bigelow? Or would it be the Heavenly Friend, played by William Lamasina?
Can't I have joint rest? I mean,
you can have whatever you wish, Victoria. Of course.
How about I just give it to Billy Bigelow's shoulders?
Billy Bigelow's shoulders. Okay, interesting. That's an interesting take on that side of things. And a score out of 10. What would you actually go for as far as Carousel is concerned for your score?
9. I'm probably going to go the highest of everybody.
I had an 8, but I could easily be persuaded to a 9. In the same way as Kathy Manso came in with a 3, but was worked up to a 4. interesting debates, interesting lines of things like that.
You have to remember that it's a great film. And even if you haven't seen the film, I reckon 90% of people will know at least one song from the film, which shows how epic it's been.
Even though, as we said at the start, strangely, it was very popular with the critics in 1956, but was far less popular with the general public, who preferred the other Rodgers and Hammerstein movie, which we may look at somewhere down the line, which was The King and I, which also has issues with respect to patriarchy and a tragic end as well from that point of view. But that's about teaching and education, something that perhaps Chloe will pick up again. Chloe, you'll hopefully be joining us in the near future, or possibly within this program, yes, to actually review the whole system for yourself. Victoria, for the moment, huge thanks. And we'll go into another carousel moment, I feel.
What's the use of wondering if he's good or if he's bad? If you like the way he wears his hat, oh, what's the use of wondering if he's good or if he's bad? He's your feller and you love him. That's all there is to that. The ending will be sad, and now's the time to break and run away. But what's the use of wondering if the ending will be sad? He's your feller and you love.
So what, then, will Jessica Burtis have to say about Carousel? We've had the two extremes in many ways, from Kathy Manso and Victoria Simmons. Jessica, closer to you, I suppose, geographically, in terms of clam bakes and the whole events of Carousel, etc., albeit about 100 years ago, more than that, over 120 years ago when it was originally set. What is your thoughts about the Shirley Jones-Gordon McRae epic called Carousel?
So I had never heard of this before, but watching it was such a it very much stuck with our last musical with a very celestial theme, a romance, a kind of like connection with the divine and the afterlife. I thought that the idea of the presentation of heaven was really cute with a grumpy little angel, and stars hanging from the sky. I thought it was very very cute. And the idea that they get to go back to Earth for one day to kind of like see how their loved ones are doing. I think that the music was very lovely. Their voices, I thought, matched so well with how his was a bit more deeper and hers was very light and clear. And I thought that was beautiful. I think the costumes were also really well done. And I did like the sets quite a lot. The group dances also were so fun. I loved the ones on the seaside with all the sailors dancing and all the ladies. It just seemed like it was one of those fun kind of summer dance scenes and one of those things that you always wish you would see in real life. So I think that those were really beautiful. I think my favorite part was about taking the star from heaven and Louise. But I did really struggle with the presentation of domestic violence in this movie or this musical, because how Julia is being hit by him because he can't find work. And then at the end, that whole scene where Louise is talking about how he slapped her hand, but it felt like a kiss. And Julia is explaining, oh, sometimes, somebody can hit you so hard and it doesn't hurt. I thought that was a very bizarre way to talk about domestic violence. Really didn't like that. Definitely made it kind of seem like it was okay. And he just loved her so much. He just had a little issue slip up there when he hit her. I could not really get past that, which is a shame because I felt like it was such a sweet musical otherwise. It was very cute. Like I said, the sets were beautiful. The seaside theme. I just thought it was so sweet. And having it set in like 56 had all these lovely costumes, but or made in 56. But yeah, I had a hard time with that representation.
I mean, I can probably address it in some in terms of, even in 1956, domestic violence was pretty much was not tolerated. Although, again, you have historically aspects of Taming of the Shrew, Shakespeare, a whole stack of other things working through that. But what you do have here is surely a tale of redemption, which, as we said earlier, for me also echoes some of the experiences of George in It's a Wonderful Life, where he's obviously, he wishes to die, and he basically has pointed out how effectively his impact touches so many people. And in a strange way, although Bigelow has actually died, he's allowed to return for one day, and he has that notion of believing in terms of the final aspect when Dr. Selden, of course, speaks at Louise's graduation ceremony, and the notion of makes no difference what they did or didn't do, you just stand on your own 2 feet. The world belongs to you as much as to the next fella, so don't give it up and try not to be scared of people not liking you. Just you try liking them and just keep your faith and your courage, and you'll turn out all right. I mean, we'll hear it from a clip from the movie shortly. But that was where, for me, like yourself, yeah, zero tolerance for domestic violence, certainly. But I felt that actually, in the context of the whole narrative, it kind of worked.
You sound, not the turn of a leaf, nor the fall of a wave hitting the sand. The tide's creeping up on the beach like a thief, afraid to be caught stealing the land. But on a night like this, I start to wonder what life is all about.
And I always say two heads are better than one to figure it out.
I don't need you or anyone to help me. Got it figured out for myself. What are we? Just a couple of specks of nothing. Look up there.
Why, you can't even count the stars in the sky. And the sky's so big, the sea looks small. And two little people, you and I, we don't count at all.
I can just see myself, kind of scrawny and pale, picking at my food and lovesick like any other guy. I'd throw away my sweater and dress up like a dude in a dickie and a collar and a tie if I loved you. But somehow I can't see just exactly how I'd be.
My problem with the redemption arc was that I feel like he hadn't quite learned the issue with physical violence, I guess, because he went to, even as a little angel, he went, or not really an angel, but even as like kind of this thing that couldn't quite touch his family because he was, you know, somewhere in the, he was dead and it was back on Earth. He went to hit Louise's hand, and I don't know. I just, I guess, felt like I was having a hard time kind of stomaching the redemption arc for a wife beater, because even though I think that people can change and realize the harm that they've caused and the mistakes that they've made, I did I was like, man, he went to hit his daughter's hand. I don't know. I didn't. I think the power dynamic too between them, with how she was presented at, I mean, it's very classically 50s, but how she was kind of presented as this naive girl who, like, you know, is a young woman who's like is out past curfew, and then he's this older man who like works at a carnival, and like, I don't know. I thought that was kind of a funny power dynamic between them, because he is quite a lot more experienced in the world and she kind of doesn't really, and they get married very quickly and run off. I don't know. But yeah, I just thought I had a hard time liking his character. I was kind of just like, you threw all of your life away. And I guess the redemption arc, I feel like he just didn't understand yet, but he was trying. But yeah, I
Well,
think the strong point for me was truly the musical numbers.
and obviously the forgiveness factor still needs to be put and borne in mind. Maybe we're more forgiving as a whole in Europe, but that's by the by. Jessica, clearly not Billy Bigelow, but who was your favorite character from Carousel?
I think my favorite character is the angel. Was it meant to be Saint Peter, the really grumpy guy in heaven, who would sit in the armchair?
The
I thought he had a
Starkeeper.
little visor.
The
Yes,
Starkeeper,
thank
who
you.
basically
Yes.
also emerges as the doctor who gives the graduation address. It's the same actor who plays both, so again, worth noting of that. And did you have a favorite song?
I again, I think it's that one when they initially get to the ocean, and you just got like the seaside and all the sailors and everybody with their baskets. I thought that was so charming. I did really like the music in this one a lot. I think the music was excellent.
And finally, your score out of 10 for Resonance Rewind, the musicals, Carousel.
I want to give it higher just because of how much I enjoyed the musical numbers. So I'm going to give it a 7, with the caveat being that it lost 3 points for the representation of the domestic violence and the power issue I was talking about. But I think if you just focus on the music, it's very sweet and the music is very fun. I'd love to see like somebody recreate the dancing. It's just so cool.
And the message of the movie, of course.
I can't tell you any sure way to happiness. I only know that you've got to go out and find it for yourselves. You can't lean on the success of your parents. That's their success. And don't be held back by their failures.
Listen to him. Believe him.
Makes no difference what they did or didn't do. You just stand on your own 2 feet. The world belongs to you as much as to the next fella, so don't give it up. And try not to be scared of people not liking you. Just you try liking them. And just keep your faith and your courage, and you'll turn out all right. It's like what we used to sing every morning when I was a boy at school. Maybe you still sing it. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high.
You know that one?
And don't be afraid of the dark.
Believe him, darling. Believe. I loved you.